What's going on, beautiful people? Welcome back to the Thrive After Sports podcast. Man, it's been a minute. It's been almost a month since I released an episode. Just some quick updates. I got married, went on my honeymoon for 2 weeks. So that's why I've been out. The beginning of August, I flew back home. I live in Austin, Texas now, but flew back home to Upland, California, which is just outside of LA. That's where I grew up. And we got married in my parents' backyard. It was a beautiful, small, intimate ceremony, like 50, 60 people. Just our closest friends, family, and loved ones. And it was a beautiful thing, you know. And then we went on our honeymoon, and I just feel completely rested, recharged. You know, it's been a while since I've taken a vacation. I've been, you know, traveled to different places, of course, mostly for business purposes over the past 4 or 5 years. But really, this was the first time I went on a vacation simply for the sake of being on vacation. You know, it was my honeymoon, just being able to integrate with my new wife and not do any work. It was just good. So I'm gonna make it a point, like at least once a year, to go on a vacation where I just don't do any work so I can be refreshed, you know. But I'm back now. With that being said, I haven't been recording any episodes, but I got some stuff in the can that I just wanted to release, so another, you know, month or another couple weeks doesn't go by without me releasing something on the podcast. So this is actually an episode I did on the Mind Power podcast, which is hosted by Angel Clemente. And it was a great episode. You know, for those of you who have heard my story before, I'd say skip like the first 5 to 10 minutes after this intro ends and it gets into the episode. Just skip 5-10 minutes because I'm really just giving my background. You guys have heard my story before. You know why I started Thrive After Sports. You know what I went through my transition. So skip ahead because it really gets into some good stuff. We talk about like rites of passage as a man, fatherhood, the roles that fathers play in our lives. We get into like some practical steps of, you know, entrepreneurial mindset. I kind of talk about the way I started to build my business. And we just talk about a lot of cool stuff that is, you know, outside of what you've typically heard me talk about on this podcast. So, and I say this because, you know, I'm always trying to get into the mind of the listener. Like, I know when I listen to podcasts, if I hear the podcast host or the person being interviewed on another podcast, like, I already know the backstory. I don't need to hear it. I want to get into the meat and potatoes of the conversation or hear some new information. So that's why I tell you, just skip like 5 to 10 minutes in. And that's when the real conversation begins. Other quick updates, you may notice I got a microphone. I've been needing to get a microphone for this podcast for a long time. You know, I started out at the beginning. I'm the type of person, it's like I'd rather just get something in motion rather than trying to make it perfect. So I started this podcast in 2019 and I was just recording, you know, off of my phone. I would do solo episodes recorded directly into my voice notes. Or when I was doing an interview, I would just do it on Zoom. So now I'm at a point where, you know, you guys have been listening, the listenership has been growing, and it's only right that I reinvest back into the podcast. I actually had someone call me out who was a client of mine. I interviewed her on my podcast and she was like, Taj, I love listening to your show, but I think you should step your audio game up. So I'm like, you know what? I accept the challenge. I've been thinking about getting a mic for a long time. I've just been making excuses for, oh, you know, people are listening anyway, so I don't really need to get a microphone, but that's not true. So I got a microphone, and shout out to Jonathan Jones, by the way. It's so funny how this happened. I did an interview with Jonathan Jones. If you go back to episode 180, here I go plugging my own podcast again, right? As usual. If you go back to episode 180, Jonathan interviewed me on his podcast. And if you go back to 187, I interviewed Jonathan. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because after the episode 187, where I interviewed Jonathan, I'm like, Jonathan, your audio quality is A1. What kind of microphone did you get? And I was just about to buy it. And then that client that I told you about, the one who said I need to step my game up, she actually sent me a microphone. I'm going to use this for now, and then I'm going to invest in the more expensive one down the line. But I think this is solid for now. It's better than you guys listening to me talk directly into Zoom or talking through those AirPods. You know, the Apple AirPods microphone quality is trash. So, but that's it. I love you guys. I appreciate you all tuning in. Oh, one more quick note. So I don't have any more scholarships available, unfortunately, for right now. So that's why I tell you guys, when I have scholarships available for free coaching, if you are a listener and you need help through your transition, or someone you know needs help through the transition, make sure you reach out immediately, because even though my scholarships are up for probably the next month or so, if you reach out and we have a conversation and you can't afford to work with me directly, I can put you on the wait list for a scholarship. So once scholarships become available again through Athlete Soul or some other partnerships that I'm working on, I can do some free coaching with you. So just because scholarships are up, that doesn't mean that you should stop reaching out. Like I said, I'll put you on the wait list. And as soon as we have scholarships available, if you're unable to afford to work directly with me, then I'll get you taken care of once we have scholarships available. But yeah, that's it. Enjoy this episode on the Mind Power Podcast. Like I said, skip 5 or 10 minutes in. That's when the conversation really gets juicy. And I'll see you in the next episode. Peace.
Another episode of the Mind Power Podcast. I am your host, Angel Clemente, here with you guys for another episode. Today, we have Taj Dashan. It's an honor to have you here. I know that the network between you and Chandler kind of goes back a little bit further back. I know he mentions you all the time, and we've been dying to have you here on the show. So now that we finally, you know, got you on here, it's amazing. I think transitional like coaching is something that's completely like unheard of and undervalued, especially helping athletes kind of get into that next step. Talk to me a little bit about like your athletic career and kind of like what your mindset was afterwards and kind of what was going on and everything and how you kind of dealt with that.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of different moving parts to that, because for me personally, I didn't feel like I had the college career that I envisioned for myself. Mm-hmm. So that made things even more challenging for me, because it's like, you know, I didn't have a superstar college career, so I knew I wasn't going to play at the next level. Yet still, when I came back home after I graduated, there was that, of course, the loss of identity of like, okay, damn, I'm no longer a football player. Who am I for real? Mm-hmm. But also like, what am I going to do now? You know, so I had that bitterness of like my career, you know, it didn't go the way I planned, and now I'm back home. I don't even know what I'm doing. It was extremely challenging because at the time these types of conversations weren't happening. You know what I mean? So at the time I felt like I was the only one going through this. And especially as athletes, man, I think this is important for us to talk about, because we're prideful people, you know, as athletes, we're used to being on that big stage and just kind of being larger than life and being that superhero figure. And people look up to us for what we can do when we're wearing a jersey. And I carried that with me into everyday life. And obviously there's a lot of good things that can come from that, but at that time I was more so on the negative side, meaning I was too prideful to open up or talk about what I was going through. I didn't even really understand what I was going through, so that brought a lot of challenges about, man, just a lot of drinking, a lot of just isolation. And I'll just leave it there for now, but it was a very rough patch for me just trying to figure out who I was after football.
What was there like a moment in your life that was kind of like eye-opening, where you kind of took a step back and you're like, wow, this is kind of rock bottom for me. I have to make a change, or else, you know, something like there's no coming back.
You know what, man? It wasn't even, I can't point to one specific moment. Well, actually I can, but it was more so like an accumulation of things over time. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I realized was that the drinking was getting out of control, and it's because I was trying to hide something and mask something and basically trying to push down those negative emotions.
Right.
So the moment I'd say like rock bottom for me was I had graduated. I had moved back home and I was unemployed, and this was like 6 months after graduation. So I'm 6 months out of graduation, and you know, I had been going out drinking like Thursday through Sunday, man, just to be transparent. Like I was unemployed. I didn't have anything else to do. And like I said, I was trying to run away from what I was feeling.
Yeah.
So I woke up, man, at like noon, hungover on like a Friday or Saturday morning, whenever it was. And I'm in my childhood bedroom. And I wake up just groggy, looking at all my little Pop Warner trophies. And I'm like, Taj, you got to get it together, man. Like this can't be, you're not going anywhere right now. You're just stuck. And so from that moment, I was like, stop the drinking, started getting serious about trying to find employment, trying to get on my feet, get out of my mom and dad's house, and just really start leaning into personal development, reading more, listening to podcasts, and taking my self-improvement seriously.
And so what were like some of those steps that you ended up taking after you came to that realization to kind of get yourself kind of prepared and transition yourself into that, into like bringing those aspects of sports into either finding a job or finding a career, or like you said, like a, because most athletes, they get pretty heavily recruited into like sales jobs or any type of like field that way, where you kind of compete and kind of earn your way, or like commission based type stuff.
Yeah, man, that's a good point you bring up about athletes being recruited into sales. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. For me, my problem was I got recruited into a sales role because someone told me the same thing. Like, athletes are great. They're competitive. You can make a lot of money. So I'm like, I'm all for it. The problem was I wasn't getting into sales for anything other than trying to make money. And I always tell athletes, like, you have to really consider if that's a career you want to go down, and not only think about sales in general, but what type of company do you want to work for? What are you actually selling?
Right.
Because if you're doing something and it's only for the money, it's only a matter of time before you burn out. We all have bills to pay. I understand that. But my whole thing is that you want to be clear about where you're going. And that's a lot of the things that I teach now. So for me, yeah, I got into sales. But it was, I think your question was about being able to apply the athletic mindset, right?
Yeah. Like, how were you able to transition?
Yeah, man, it was, like I said, once I had that morning where I woke up, I was like, okay, how can I approach everyday life like I'm playing a game? You know, and the subtitle of my book is called Thrive After Sports, you know, helping athletes dominate the game of life. And so when I really started thinking of it like that, I was like, okay, first things first, cut down on the drinking. I wouldn't be drinking like this if I was competing. I'm not competing on the field, but I'm competing in life. So let me cut that back. Let me start exercising again so I can feel good. Let me start, you know, I'm not studying playbooks or studying plays or studying other teams, but let me study different industries and kind of start to map out a path for myself. So I really just started taking the athletic mindset and using it to compete with the man in the mirror and trying to put myself in the best position possible in life. And since that moment, it's never left me. So I always wake up every day and compete like I'm an athlete, no matter what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you basically, you changed your entire like mindset and like the way you were, your perspective kind of viewing everything instead of like, you know, I need to get a job or I need to, you know, be an adult, I need to grow up type stuff into like, you know, I was competing then, but I'm still competing now. Now I'm just competing for something else.
You're spot on with that. It became an obsession, you know, and at first it started with just getting a job and getting on my feet and taking care of myself. But then it evolved into, you know, now I'm a business owner and now I wear multiple hats and I have multiple things that I do. So it's grown and evolved over time. But there was a certain point where I realized if I didn't make that shift, I was going to stay stuck. And so by being able to take that athletic mindset and apply it to other things, like, and this is to any athletes who may be listening, you become unstoppable once you start competing at whatever it is you want to do,
right,
the same way you did with your sport.
You went through this transition, right? You changed your mindset. You kind of got yourself on the right path. And then where was that time where you started? Because I remember at the beginning you said that you started to realize that, you know, you found yourself making it and found that transition. But then you realized that, you know, you had a lot of friends, a lot of teammates that were struggling with the same thing. And it's just not a conversation that happens. It's not like a topic that really gets discussed a whole lot. So kind of talk about how you kind of started realizing that, you know, this is something that you can offer. This is something that people need, and kind of how you went about getting that going off the ground, the transition coaching.
Yeah, man. The funny thing about it is that, like I said, it was an evolution, and it's something that I didn't really realize was going on with other people until I made it through the other side myself. You know, so because people started seeing what I was doing in my career. People would come visit me. You know, this is when I moved out and got my own place and I was making good money and all that. I would have teammates from all around the country come visit, and they're like, Taj, man, like, how are you doing this? Like, you're making good money. You know, you're managing a team at a young age. And, you know, they would be like, I could barely afford my flight out here. I'm back home working at Home Depot and all these types of things, or I'm still looking for a job. And so as those conversations started to open up, I realized, you know, and by the way, just a quick side note, while I was going through that dark time, I started journaling a lot and just keeping like a Google Doc and taking notes of, okay, this is what I learned from this, and this is what's helping me now. And just like a note, I never intended to turn it into a book or into a coaching program, but I was keeping it for myself. So long story short, man, when people would reach out to me for help, I would start like coaching them unofficially. There wasn't, I had no intentions of doing this as a career, but I would talk to them before I went to work, when I came home from work, on the weekends, and I was kind of teaching them some stuff that got me through. And then this is when I realized it was bigger than football, because I was just helping former teammates and stuff at first. They would start referring me to other athletes. They would be like, I remember like it was yesterday, one of the first non-football players I started working with was a women's basketball player from TCU. And that's because one of my teammates was like, hey, man, you've helped me a lot. Can you help my cousin? She just graduated and finished playing basketball. So I'm like, bet. And then that's when I took the deep dive and realized what was going on, and that athletes are really struggling with this. And I'm looking at things like, you know, I would go on the NCAA website and they would have stuff like, this is how you prepare for a job interview. I'm not knocking that. That's great and everything. But there's so many layers to what happens during that transition. And, you know, to make a long story short, man, that's really what I wanted to address. Mm-hmm. So I put together that curriculum based off what I had learned, based on the coaching I was doing unofficially, based on my experience, and actually put together a cohesive program that I felt like, okay, this is exactly what I would have needed when I was going through that time.
Right.
And from there, man, I was just off to the races with trying to get it in front of as many people as possible to help them through their transition.
Yeah. I think some of the biggest things that is good to like take away is that you said, you know, you base all of this stuff on what you would have wanted to go, like all the help you would have wanted when you were going through it. There's so many different things that can be applied to, especially for like a lot of like, you know, first generation kids who, you know, who don't have that help, you know, who maybe whose parents didn't go to college and they don't know how to even get those first steps in or anything like that. Anything like that. And like, so I use myself as an example all the time. Like, when I, you know, got to college and I played soccer and I played my other sports, and I look back and, you know, I went back to my high school and started helping the kids back at my high school too. They were going through the same program. They were doing the same things. And I went in and I told them, like, you know, this was my path. Like, this is what I took. Like, these are some of the regrets I have, if I had any. And these are what I don't want you to have, because I went through what you guys are going through. So you guys can, like, we can make that connection right there. And I can help you guys not just become what I became, but become better. You know?
Bro, I love that, man. Angel, I love that you shared that, because one of the things I always say is that I feel like after a certain point, like if you cross a bridge, like you said, whether it's first generation or right. transition, whatever you're talking about, like I'm the first person in my family to go to college too. So it's like, that's a bridge that we crossed. And when you get to the other side of a bridge at that point, I mean, you don't have to, you can do whatever you want to do.
Right.
But I feel that as human beings, it's our responsibility to be able to pull people up once we cross a bridge or exactly. get to a certain threshold. So I love that you shared that, man. That's yeah. my mentality too.
Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the mentality we try and share like here at MindPower. And I know us and you and everything, we share a lot of similarities in that way in terms of the way we think. Like that's kind of our whole like motivation is, you know, trying to be that help for the people that we would have needed when we were going through it. You know, like it would have made exactly. our process easier. But I've noticed through the past couple of years that, you know, people think in two different ways. They either think, you know, like I went through this, so you should have to go through it too, so you can learn, or you can think of it like, you know, I went through this and I hated it, so I don't want you to go through that because I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. And it's like, I feel like it's yeah. like two different narratives, and you kind of get to choose which narrative you want to take. So like you said, I don't think either one is the wrong one, but like one is, it might be biased, but in our opinion, I think one is definitely a lot more helpful than the other one.
Right. Yeah, man. Not to get sidetracked again, but it's funny you bring that up. I was just having a conversation about that this morning, and the mentality, and this is for any men tuning in, like it's an issue right now with fathers in our society. That's the conversation yes. I was having, where there's a lot of distant fathers, or they kind of, even there are people who grew up with the father, but the father was just kind of there paying bills and doing his thing, but didn't really teach you anything about right. how to become a man. And there's no rite of passage into becoming a man. So what you just said about like the mindset of, well, I had to struggle and figure out on my own, that's unhealthy. And I think we need to stop that in a lot of different areas in this world where mm-hmm. we can get out of that mindset and be like, instead of you having to struggle, let me teach you so that I can help bring you up. You don't have to, you can avoid those pitfalls versus like, oh, you got to learn through the fire like I did. Why do that if you can help? Like, all the generations that come after the previous generations are supposed to go farther. So anyway, man, don't get me started, man. You get me fired up. I'm loving this conversation, man.
I feel like we could have a pretty good conversation about that too, because that's kind of the path that my father kind of raised me to. Is, you know, like, especially because the main thing I think about is like with my car when I was growing up. Like, you know, I had like a flat tire or something like that, and I had to go like pay for it. Or somebody goes, why? You could have just done this. And I was like, oh, I didn't know. You didn't tell me. He goes, well, now you know. Like, you got to learn. Like, you got to learn that, you know, instead of doing that, you could have done this to not make that process so much better. I was like, well, now I know. Like, I'm never going to forget that for sure. So it, as effective as it was pretty, like, it was pretty like, I don't know, want to say like gut wrenching, but definitely like something like, wow, like I want to make sure, like, you know, if I ever have a kid, like I'm going to make sure he knows, like, he doesn't have to go through that. He doesn't have to stay stranded on the side of the road for a couple hours, not knowing what to do and have to figure it out on his own, you know, just examples like that. But like you said, we could talk about this for like hours, I'm pretty sure. So, talk to me kind of like, let's switch over into like an entrepreneur type stuff. Like, cause I know, you know, you have your transition coaching and stuff, but you also have your book, you have your podcast, you have all this other stuff. What kind of, like helped you or kind of motivated you to kind of expand everything into of a more like a mass media type thing and whatever else you have like going on? Cause I'm sure those aren't the only things that, you know, you have going on, or transitional coaching is just it.
Yeah. Great question, man. And it actually ties into something I really believe in, which is dedicating yourself to a specific mission or a specific path, but then staying open to other things as they open up along the way. You know, not being closed-minded to, oh, I'm only doing this. My philosophy is I'm going to help athletes transition, but as I continue to evolve as a person and I continue to evolve in the type of impact I want to have, that's going to open me up to different things.
Right.
So when I first started, you know, me, I'm a simple guy. I just like doing the one-on-one coaching. I take athletes through the program. It's one-on-one. It's all over the phone. And I like the one-on-one because I feel that you can get more personal with someone versus if it's in a group setting where they might not be so comfortable opening up about things because there's other people listening, especially with athletes. So what I'm getting at, though, is I never planned on starting a podcast, never planned on writing a book, never planned on going in and speaking. In fact, I'm extremely introverted. So the idea of getting up and speaking in front of people still makes me nervous to this day. But I do it because I'm dedicated to my mission.
Right.
You know, I started the podcast because when I started out in 2018 doing the one-on-one coaching, I was putting out a lot of content, a lot of videos on YouTube, or like I would put clips of the videos on LinkedIn and Instagram. And I'm like, people are loving these clips, but they're not watching the full message.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and this was pre-pandemic. So I'm like, you know, people are commuting to work and all that. So I'm like, well, if I could strip the audio and put that up as a podcast, then more people can hear it. And right. It's another avenue. So that was the podcast. The book, never considered writing a book, but I was sitting on a bunch of material over the years that I had accumulated. And I'm like, well, I had a mentor come into my life, and he's the owner of a publishing company, which I'm actually partnered with now. And I help other athletes write books and tell their stories. But he was the first person to even mention the impact that a book could have, not only for the people that I'm looking to help, but for my career.
Mm-hmm.
So by writing a book, I established myself as an expert in my field, gives me more credibility, and more people are willing to listen to what I have to say. So the book was just something that, you know, I'm glad I did it, because it's basically my coaching program in book format. And it's another way for me to reach people. And the book is what actually opened the door up for me to go in and speak and do workshops, because people found out about my book. People in athletic departments would get their hands on it. And then, you know, that would open up the door for me to come in and speak and do workshops for student athletes and for, you know, career advisors at university. So it's just been a journey, man. And like I said, I stay true to the mission, which is helping athletes. And I always stay open as things are revealed to me on the path of like, oh, this is another way I can serve. So
Well, do you have any tips for, you know, maybe not even just athletes, but I know a lot of this centers around athletes, but do you have any tips about like towards people who want to pursue entrepreneurship and kind of want like have an idea of, you know, they want to help people, but they don't know exactly how to get that message all the way out? Do you have any tips on people trying to do that to get like their entrepreneurship off the ground?
Yeah, man. A few, because obviously, you know, of course, it depends on what you're looking to do,
right?
What you're looking to build. But I would say just a few basics when it comes to entrepreneurship is, number one, figure out who you want to serve. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing. That's who you want to start with. And you always want to focus on what do they need. Like I said, I talked to a lot of athletes before I ever started a business. And I looked at what I needed during that time. So you always want to start with who do I want to serve and what does this person or this avatar or this group of people actually need? Versus, oh, what do I want to do? There's no sense in creating a product or creating a service without ever talking to anyone first, because then you're putting something out there that you, it's like you wanted to put that out there, but you didn't really talk to the people and see if that's what they need.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the first thing. And then another thing is you can't do anything big alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to learn that the hard way. I'm just now starting to understand hiring people and delegating and building out systems and processes. for me, I was just a one man band for years. And really just last year is when I started incorporating a team and having people help me get to where I want to go. I mean, you can do a lot by yourself, but you're not going to get very far. And eventually you're going to be limited. So you need other people. Also, don't get into entrepreneurship just for money. You always have to have something that is, I made the mistake of quitting my day job because I was so passionate about that. And I had to take a lot of bumps and bruises because I didn't let it get profitable before I, you know, jumped away from the day job. So I always recommend use your free time. And I always say there really is no free time. You're either working or you're resting.
Right.
Not that rest is, so, you know, being one of the two. Don't spend time, invest time. So either invest it in working on something or invest it in resting. But I always say while you're working on, while you have a 9-to-5 or your day job or whatever, make sure you're building on the side so that eventually that the side hustle becomes the main hustle.
Yeah. Is there any like recommendation? Because I know I can count, you know, so many friends off I can think of so many friends that, you know, are pursuing entrepreneurship. But you know, you get stuck in that balance of, you know, you have to pay the bills, you have to make that income, and you have to make a little extra after that to pour into like what you're trying to pursue before it even gets off the ground. So you see a lot of people balancing, you know, that work life versus that, you know, that entrepreneur, and you have to throw in a lot of hours before, you know, something can really happen. But finding that balance between, you know, what's going to make you money right now and then trying to build something is pretty hard because, you know, if you don't have the time to invest into something, it's like watering the plant. You know, you have to water it enough times. But how do you find that balance between making sure you can make enough money with, you know, with your day job or whatever's bringing in the money versus being able to put the right amount of time into whatever it is you're trying to get off the ground?
Great question, man. I think when it comes to trying to find the balance, number one, let me say this, and hopefully this will wake somebody up or spark them into action. I think a lot of people make the excuse of not having time. And we all know that you're going to find time for what's important to you.
Right.
And I don't say that. I'm not on that, like, you know, team no sleep and all that. I don't believe in that. I think, you know, you got to take care of yourself and make sure you're getting rested and all that. So it's not about like, oh, you got to have sleepless nights and you got to sleep for 3 hours and 4 hours and you got to be on the grind all the time. I don't believe in that because that just leads to burnout. What I believe in is like, yeah, take care of yourself, get your rest, make sure you're, you know, not sacrificing your health or anything, but what are you doing while you're awake? So a lot of people will say, man, I just can't find time, but you have time on a Sunday to watch, you know, 3 football games. Mm-hmm. You have 6 hours to watch football or college football on a Saturday. You got 6-7 hours to watch football. You can come home after work, after your 9-to-5, and you have time to play Madden or 2K, but that's time that you could be using to put towards your craft.
Yeah.
So I've always believed in that, man. And on my journey, I've had to do what I had to do. Even after leaving the corporate job, when I was building up Thrive After Sports and trying to build, you know, the book and the speaking and getting sponsorships so I can get scholarships for athletes to go through my program, like all that took work on top of the content and everything too. So I would work my day job or pick up a part-time job if I had to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would come home, it's just, I'm working on the business. Right. Like there's no the only downtime is when you're sleeping. You know what I mean? So, right. And I need my 8 hours. That's why I said, I'm not on that team, no sleep. Like I'm gonna get my 8 hours before that 16 hours I'm up, I'm going hard, you know?
Yeah, gotta rejuvenate. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So bringing back to like, you know, the 8 hours, all of that plays into being fully aware, being fully there. So all of that ends up tying into like, you know, your mental health, right? And I feel like that's kind of what brings us here is making sure that your mental health is, you know, A1 so that you can tackle all the obstacles that you need to tackle and get to where you want to be. Cause, without that mental health, you're kind of going astray in whatever direction you're trying to go. But talk to me a little bit about like what mental health means to you.
Man, mental health is everything. Like I was telling you earlier, the reason I had such a hard time when I was going through that period after I was done playing football is because I did not open up to anybody and I lived in isolation. And it's very dangerous when you have negative thoughts or like, you know, you're feeling down on yourself and they just stay up here.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to get those thoughts out. You know, and whether that means getting professional help, talking to a therapist, you got great things like BetterHelp now, or reaching out to a family member or just someone that you trust, a friend, talking to a significant other, it's important to be able to get those things out. So I think that, and I love, you know, of course, what Mind Power is doing, and just that mental health is such a big part of the conversation these days, because it sheds a light on it and lets other people know that it's okay to, you know, have challenges, and there are so many resources that you can use to overcome those challenges.
Right.
Because that's what it's all about. It's normal. Like, negative thoughts and negative feelings are never going to go away. That's part of being a human.
Right.
But to me, it's about how quickly can you bounce back?
Yeah.
How quickly can you put yourself in a position with the help of others a lot of times to bounce back? So mental health is everything.
Yeah. It's about learning how to deal with them and learning how to process them and kind of use them to your advantage and stuff like that. You know, talking to someone is such a powerful tool. And even if you're not used to, you know, opening it up, because I mean, we could have another long discussion about, you know, whether it's athletes or just like males in general that, you know, they don't get raised with that idea of, you know, it's okay to talk about your feelings, or it's okay to talk about, you know, what's going on in your head. And so they kind of learn more to just, you know, compress it and, like, you know, throw it in the back and just add it as a baggage and whatnot. But, even like not talking to someone, like you said, like I think almost every single guest that I've had on the podcast, they talk about journaling and they journal everything. And I think journaling is also one way of kind of talking to someone. In some ways, it's like talking to yourself, you know, and kind of, mm-hmm. you know, talking to that reflection of you and getting that, that like eye opening and kind of self-evaluating. And that's, to me, I it feels like that's one way of transitioning into being able to talk to someone and kind of getting yourself to learn how to open up and at least get whatever's in your head outside of your head somewhere else, which is such a huge help.
100%, man. But to your point, sometimes you don't even know what you need to talk to someone else about because right. you haven't taken time to process it yourself.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was, you know, during that time for me, I was spending so much time drinking and trying to mask it that there was never time to even process it or get it out so that I could be like, if someone asked me what's wrong during that time, I wouldn't know.
Right.
Be like
oh, nothing's wrong, man. Yeah.
You're exactly. Or I would try to pass it off like yeah. nothing's wrong. So I love what you just said about getting it out, and that'll help. That'll be a nice bridge for you talking to someone else about it. Sometimes you get it all out on paper and you don't even need to talk to anyone because you just got it out.
Yeah.
So, good point, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost like takes a different form when you look at it objectively. You know, you get it outside your head and you're like, wow, that's crazy. Like I'm sitting in my room, like hungover at like 1 PM bro. Like what? Like, like in your head, you're like, man, I had a crazy night. Damn. It's already 1, man. That was a crazy night. But objectively you're like, damn, man. Like I'm sitting here. This, you know, I was in high school when I was sleeping in this bed and I'm still here doing it. Like, it's just looking at it from a different perspective. That's just like, it's crazy. And it's eye opening. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking back on like your whole career, like your whole journey, is there like a moment in your life that you can think of throughout this like journey where you're like the most proud of, where you're like, you like look back and you kind of thought to yourself, this is why I was doing this. Like, this is the reason that I decided to do what I wanted to do. Like, was there a moment when you're like, I'm really glad that I did transition coaching because this is the impact I wanted to have? Like, is there like the proudest moment of your journey so far?
Proudest moment, man. It's interesting because I've been really intentional about practicing gratitude mm-hmm. as much as possible. So my proudest moment is like right now in this moment, because, yeah. you know, being able to sit here and talk about it with you, I get to reflect on all the things that I went through and all the great things that have opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow is going to be my proudest moment. Matter of fact, just this morning, man, I got some news. I got another sponsorship, another nonprofit that I'm going to be partnered with that is going to enable me to be able to coach more athletes. And we're going to use the grant money and scholarships to be able to help them get through. And that was my goal from the get-go. I never wanted to be charging athletes out of pocket.
Right.
You know how it is, especially coming back home from college. You don't,
yeah.
you may not even have a job. So how are you going to afford to pay top dollar to work with someone like me?
Right.
So my first partnership in nonprofit, which is Athlete Soul. And I know you guys and Athlete Soul have partnered together as well, which is, I love to see it. They were the first one to help me and start sponsoring my athletes. And I just got another partnership as of yesterday with ATS, Athlete Transition Services, a nonprofit founded by Jonathan Orr, who's a former NFL player. So that made my whole day this morning when I got that news, man, that we're going to be working together. And that's, like I said, more resources that I can plug an athlete into to get the help they need without having to come out of pocket. So
yeah, man. Congratulations, by the way, man. That's awesome.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. Now, going in the other direction of, like, proudest moments is, like, is there any moments in your life where you thought about, you know, when you were trying to pursue this and you had people kind of being that, like, that negative Nancy, being like, you know, that transitioning coaching, that is not going to pay the bills, it's not going to make the money. You know, you always have those, like, haters, those people that, you know, that want to doubt you and stuff like that. Like, can you think back on any of those moments where you had, like, those situations?
Yeah, man. Plenty of them, plenty of them. So many moments like that. Of course, like you said, people say there's no money in that. How are you going to earn a living? That's why my mind was always fixated on. I know that as time continues to go by and the topic around mental health opens up mm-hmm. and discussions around athlete transition open up, there are going to be more people looking at this and saying, how can we help? How can we, you know, provide resources to be able to make this come to life?
Right.
And sure enough, that's why I'm grateful that I stayed consistent, because as people are looking for people like myself to coach or just get insight to come and speak or different books or resources or podcasts, I've been at it for almost 5 years now. So I have a body of work to show, like, oh, this guy Taj has been consistent when it comes to athlete transition. Let's touch base with him and get his input on this. So, but I had plenty of people, man, tell me I'm never going to make any money with it. Of course, you get the usual stuff from family, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And this is no knock against my family, man. I have a great family. They let me live with them while I was building. And, you know, when I came back home from college, and they've always been loving and supportive. And at the same time, you know, no one in my family comes from an entrepreneurial background. So when I'm doing this, they're looking at me like, Taj, you know, mid to late 20s now, still living at home. I don't know if this is going to happen. You might just want to go get a job. And I know they mean well, right. But to any entrepreneur on your journey, that's something you're going to hear. So you just got to stay consistent no matter what people are telling you. And the loudest voice always has to be the voice between your own two ears. So.
Yeah, that's true. When you talk about family, like, it's always love and support. Like, they always just want what's best for you and stuff like that. So it's something that you can't really take to heart too much, because you have to understand, you know, like, yeah, it's crazy. I know I've had that conversation many a times, especially, like, my transition moving down here to Miami all the way from Indiana with, like, nothing. It's kind of the same thing, you know, because we talked about, you know, like, parents being kind of, like, not old-fashioned, but, you know, they have that different mindset where it's like, you know, you got to pay the bills. That's exactly how my father was. You know, I remember having that conversation with my dad before I moved down here, and I was like, you know, I want to move down here, but, like, I don't know if it's going to work out. Like, it's a risk. Like, I have a job down here. Like, I'm teaching, I'm coaching, you know, I'm comfortable down here, but who knows what can happen down in Miami. And my dad told me the exact same thing. He said, you know, you're comfortable, you can make a living, like, you can be financially stable here, and that's probably what's safe. I was like, you can go to Miami and take that risk, but who knows what's going to happen, but it would be better to be safe. And, like, as much as I appreciated those words and I understood where he came from, that was kind of what did it for me. It's like, you know, I could be safe, but if there's one thing I've learned is that, you know, comfortability is dangerous. You know, when you get comfortable, that's dangerous, because then you know, not a whole lot of change happens, not a whole lot of evolution happens. You don't really grow much when you're comfortable. And so for me, like, as much as I appreciated that conversation and I valued it a lot, that's kind of what kind of kicked me into, you know, I'm going to get my stuff and I'm going to go down here and I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to make something out of it, you know?
Man, I love that. Yeah, yeah. There's this guy, I'm going to butcher his last name, but his name is Bedros. You probably know who I'm talking about. Bedros Koulion or something like that.
I think I've heard the name, but I don't know too much on it.
And now I'm blanking on the name of his company. But long story short, when you were sharing that, it made me think of, he has this concept where he says every day when we wake up in this life, we have a choice to either be a crop duster, like one of those planes that flies over and crop dust the plants, or a fighter jet. And he said, you can go through life and be comfortable as a crop duster. You know, you're just going to, you know,
take the same flight path and everything like that. Yeah.
Every single day. And that's comfortable. But when your life is over, you're going to look back on that and be like, man, that was pretty boring. Or you can get up and be a fighter jet and go hard towards your dreams every single day, even though, like you said, it's not safe and it's going to be scary at times. But, you know, it's all about how you want to go through this life, because as far as we all know, you only get one go around. So it's up to you.
That's true. I've never thought about it that way. I've never heard that, like, the fighter jet, the crop duster, but that's good. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it stood out to me too, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I want to talk about kind of like your go back onto this like your transition coaching. I know you talked to me about kind of like you have the eight week program. I was looking at that on your website and kind of like all the process, but kind of talk about that a little bit and kind of what that entails for someone you know maybe listening to this and wanted to be interested in this. Kind of talk about what that entails a little bit.
Yeah, man. And before I even get into it, I just want to remind everybody that it's free. So that's why I work so hard to put the resources in place so athletes don't have to pay. So if you're listening to this and you're a parent of an athlete or a coach of an athlete or you're a current or former athlete, it sounds like something you might want to get some assistance on during your transition, don't hesitate to reach out because it's free to you. So you got nothing to lose. But bottom line is, man, I do 8 weeks and I always tell people it's not, you know, I don't do an 8 week program and then kick people to the curb. Right. You know, these people have my number. So there's people I worked with 3-4 years ago at this point, and we're still in contact to this day, but 8 weeks to go through that program and that curriculum. And with that being said, it's not cookie cutter. You know, obviously everyone's different. Everyone's right. in a different situation. And that's part of being a coach. I'm not just reading a PowerPoint. It's about me being able to meet people where they're at and adjust what they need and being able to coach them and get them to where they ultimately want to go. But during the 8 weeks, the best way I can boil it down is like there's three different stages. The first stage, like the first 2 or 3 weeks, is really getting past some of the emotional challenges that we face during the transition. Some things mentally or emotionally that may be holding us back. I think it's important to be able to process that before we get to the next step of trying to figure out what you want to do with your life now that you're done playing. Mm-hmm. I think it doesn't do any good to come to an athlete who's just like struggling and be like, hey, what do you want to do with your life when right. you haven't processed some of the other stuff first? So that's the first and, you know, arguably the most important step, because once you get past that, then you start to get excited again about your future and you can sort of sprint light towards your goals without sprinting with the weight on your back.
Yeah.
The second pillar, like the middle part of the program, is strictly just getting clear on the vision. If someone needs a job to make ends meet, I'll help them get set up with that. I have a lot of connections from our recruiting days and stuff. But more so, I'm thinking long-term, big picture. I get a lot of athletes who want to work on building businesses. So we might get them set up with a little job to pay the bills, but let's talk about building in the free time, like we said. So right. something that's going to have them just as excited to get up out of bed in the morning as they were when they were playing their sport. That's the ultimate vision, right? The third pillar is, and this is the last 2 or 3 weeks, is once that vision is locked in, okay, now we need to come up with a serious game plan to actually be able to execute on this, not just during the 2 months or the 8 weeks we're working together, but like over the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, how are you going to execute this vision that you just came up with? And then another part of what I do is, and thanks to all these great people I'm tapped in with, I'm able to connect them with other people, mm-hmm. you know, so if someone wants to get into the tech space or get into real estate or someone wants to get into coaching, whatever it is they want to do, whatever their vision is, I can say, I know, you know, dozens of athletes who I'm connected with who are in that space. And now I'm going to plug you into those people so those people can help you get you where you want to go to, and they can be mentors and resources to you. Right. So that's it in a nutshell, man. That's what I'm doing. And that's my favorite part of it. On top of the speaking and the podcast and all that, I just love being one-on-one on the phone with an athlete going through that program with them, man. So
yeah, of course.
That's pretty much it.
And I mean, if anybody's listening to this and they, you know, for any reason have any doubts about this entire thing, like Tosh has multiple testimonies on his website, and you can check those out and just see that difference of what people are saying about either the program or the book or anything like that. You know, if you don't think that you can throw in like 8 weeks or anything like that, Read the book, man. Like it changes a lot of things, and the testimonies kind of speak for itself. The one thing I liked, I think, when I got to the bottom of that, are the disclaimer you put at the bottom of the 8 week program. You know, like, you know, schedule a call if this, but don't schedule a call if this. And that, I kind of really like that. If you wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, man. Thank you for bringing that up. Not a lot of people catch that. I'm glad you saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is I'm trying to get people mentally prepared so that the expectations are clear up front. You know, like, I'm not for everybody, but I'm for the right people. And I've always attracted the type of people who they understand what it is that I'm doing. And because of that, they get the results from it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not someone who's going to be like doing all the work for you. Hey, don't reach out to me and be like, hey, I need a job. Like, that's not what we're doing.
Right.
I can get you a job, but there's a lot that needs to happen before we even get to that stage.
Right.
But yeah, man, that's what the little disclaimer on the bottom is about, because I think it saves me a lot of time.
Yeah.
And it saves people a lot of time before they know if they want to work, if they want to reach out to me and actually get this work in. That's why I like working with athletes, because I want to help people who are already in motion and have a go-getter mindset. They just need some help.
Right.
You know, I always use the analogy of like, if your car breaks down on the road, which is kind of what a transition is like, if your car breaks down on the road, people are more likely to help you if you're already pushing your car versus if you're standing there with your thumb out. I'm helping the people who are already pushing the car towards the gas station. So, hey, let me get out and help this person. I see you pushing the car. I'm going to help you get where you need to go. That's my mindset.
Yeah. Because I remember I saw the, you know, if you want me to hold your hand through the thing, don't schedule a call. If you want to get rich quick, like, don't schedule calls. Like, wow. Like, especially in today, because, like, you know, there's so many, like, mediums and stuff where people advertise, you know, get rich quick or you can make this much money doing this stuff. Like, this is not that. Like, this is something to change your life, but you have to put the work into it too. Like, but nah, I love that. I love that disclaimer. I was like, that hopefully that weeds out a lot of people, because at the end of the day, you can't really help someone who doesn't want to help themselves. And they have to come to that realization that they need help and then seek it. And that's a lot better. Like, you get a lot more results helping someone that wants to be helped in terms of someone that just wants you to do the work for them and thinks that, you know, they can just bring someone in to fix them and stuff like that. It's a huge difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Angel, thank you for bringing that up and for noticing that, man. And like you said, for people, if you're like, I'm not so sure about this guy, I don't know if I want to actually go through the program. Like, I always tell people, just schedule a call, because sometimes I've had so many conversations with people and just that one phone call, they got everything they needed. They didn't even need to go through the 8 weeks. Sometimes you just need to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. And like you said, man, there's tons of testimonials on the site. I think we got 20-something interviews with clients I work with, and that's just the ones I did interviews with. You know, some people aren't comfortable sharing their story, but check those out. Check out the podcast, get the book, and if all that stuff sounds good and you're getting something out of it, then let's go through the program, which is free, by the way, just like everything else. So
make sure you guys know it's free. It's just someone to talk to, someone that can be there for you, someone that can help you for sure. Do you ever get people that, you know, schedule a call and you kind of realize that, you know, they didn't think it was what it was? They kind of thought you were kind of just going to be kind of like some type of plug, but you were able to kind of just change that mindset and get them to buy into, like, letting you help them?
Yeah. You know, I think by the time someone reaches out to me, they've probably already listened to a few podcasts or watched some videos or maybe read my book or, you know, they heard me come in and speak at the university. So by the time they get to me, I think they have a pretty clear understanding. But over the years, especially when I was first starting out, before I had a bunch of content already out there, people would reach out to me and be like, hey, you know, I'm trying to get a job in sales. Can you help me? And then, so while I had them on the phone, I would open up that dialogue of like, okay, what makes you want to work in sales? Oh, I want to make some money. Or, you know, and then that opens up the whole dialogue of like being intentional about where you're going.
Yeah.
Or people will be like, hey, I'm trying to get an opportunity to get into coaching. And some people make great coaches. Mm-hmm. And I would say some athletes would be better off looking at what else can you do outside of your sport besides coaching?
Right.
Because a lot of times people want to coach just because it's comfortable. So to answer your question, man, I've had a lot of people reach out over the years. And, you know, even parents, man, parents of athletes will reach out. You know, can you talk to my son? Can you talk to my daughter? So it just depends, man. But I'm always down to have a conversation. Like I said, sometimes it could just take one combo to get somebody on the right path.
Right. What do you think about, what do you think about people, you know, trying to stay in their like respective sports past competing, like coaching? You know, a lot of athletes, as soon as they're done, like with their athletic careers, they kind of transition into coaching to kind of stay involved in the sport in some way. I know I had a lot of friends that, you know, maybe they weren't the best athletes, but they loved the sport so much, you know, they wanted to pursue like athletic training so they can stay involved in the sports. They just find some type of way to stay connected with the sport. Can you guys kind of give your thoughts on like what you think of that, like trying to keep staying connected with that sport in some ways, whether it's like through coaching or any other thing?
I just thought of a really kind of silly analogy, but about that, I'll get to that in a second.
Right.
But before I even say that, I think it depends on the person. And so that's why I'm always trying to dig beneath the surface and look under the hood to see what is someone's intention for wanting to get into coaching. Cause like I said, some people, man, they make phenomenal coaches and they were like born to be coaches. Like, okay, you're done playing. You should be coaching because you really have a passion for it. You want to build a career. You know, it's bigger than money for you. Like, and some people, like you said, are just, doing it because they don't know anything else. They haven't explored anything else. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, as well as I do, man, there are people who go into coaching after they're done playing their sport and end up miserable.
Yeah.
Cause they're like, damn, I don't really want to do this. I'm tired of coaching, or I'm not moving up, and all these different things, because they never stop to consider. The analogy I was going to use is, it's like when someone graduates from college, there's a difference between the person who like comes back to their university and like wants to give back and say, hey, I've graduated from here, I'm doing this, now I want to pass this knowledge on to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a coach. That's a great coach.
Right.
Then there are people who, you know, there's the people who that graduated 5-10 years ago and they're still coming back to college parties.
Right.
That's like, you got to move on, bro.
Yeah.
You're done. You're 30 now. You can't be popping up at the frat parties. All right. It's over for you. Like, you need to move on.
And leave it to the homecoming weekend.
That's it.
But nah, man, that's true, because a lot of people don't think about how it affects, you know, the effect that they're going to have on the athletes that they're going to be coaching. You know, like you said, like, you know, if you're a miserable coach, if you don't see something for yourself, if you're making the coaching about yourself, you're not being a coach, because when you coach, it's not about you. It's about, you know, the 20, 30 kids that you have under you that are impressionable, that are looking up to you as a leader, as some type of like role model that you have to lead by example, you know? Like, yeah, it's all about the motivation behind what you're doing, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I know we're getting down to the time crunch. Real quick, if you were to go back, you know, before whether it's like before you got to college, or like when you were trying to get into college, or maybe after college, if you were to go back and kind of give yourself like any type of advice that would help you get through all this and kind of make that journey a little bit easier for you. Is there any like words of advice that you would give yourself?
After college, well, before college, I would just say, make sure you're having a better balance. Cause I think for when I was going through college, for me personally, and I know coming out of high school, a lot of athletes going into college, it can be really challenging with like balancing school and a social life and also mm-hmm. your sport. So just understanding that you have to create your own balance. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you're going to find yourself lacking in multiple areas. Like,
right.
You know, I was lacking on my schoolwork because I was so focused on football, or I was spending too much time on my social life and then, you know, not performing on the field. So just understand how to balance and be able to talk to people or find people who can support you in finding that balance, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I would say to myself going into college. After college, I would say stop. I would say spend more time being intentional about where you really want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to do what you need to do to make money, but spend more time being intentional about like when it's all said and done, you know, when you're 30, 40, 50, you're like, when you leave this earth, how do you want to be remembered? What do you want people to say about the mark mm-hmm. that you left while you were here? Cause I was so money focused, and that led to a lot of burnout and just me being in situations where I was literally only there for a check. And I think if I would have been focused on, I mean, everything happens for a reason. I wouldn't be here if I didn't go through any of that.
Right.
But at the same time, I think I would have been able to arrive at the lifestyle that I'm living now and who I am as a person if I was able to just, okay, I got my money situation set up, but let me think about what I really want versus like money's the only thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Money will basically grow from whatever. But if you grow the money doing what you love to do, like that's the best thing. Like you can make money regardless, but like you're going to be happier making money doing what you want to do versus just living to make the money.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%.
Well, Taj, I want to thank you again, man, for coming on and talking to us and kind of talking to our audience here. I know you're a busy man. You're all over the place. You got a lot of stuff going on. And I just, man, I want to be thankful for you, man. We meet a lot of people that are helping people in different ways. Some people are helping people like in a mass way, kind of just like delivering a message. And some people are doing, you know, smaller things, you know, just helping people, you know, one by one, but you're doing both. And I want to applaud you for that, man. Cause you got all your outlets. You have, you know, people can schedule a call, kind of get that personal, like one-on-one time. So, I want to thank you for doing everything that you've been doing and trying to make that difference there. And I just want to make sure it doesn't go like unnoticed. So,
Andrew, I appreciate that, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you for, you know, I love what you guys are doing at Mind Power with the podcast, the movement, all the different, events and stuff, and masterminds and things you guys have set up. I think it's awesome to see. It's definitely needed, you know, and I appreciate your time today, man. This has been a pleasure just chopping it up with you.
Absolutely, man. Real quick before you leave, you wanna shout anything out, you know, shout out your podcast, get people over there, shout out your website, your book, any of that stuff that you wanna throw out here?
Yeah, I think the main place I want to point people to is just going to TajDashaun.com. Mm-hmm. That's T-A-J, like the Taj Mahal. So T-A-J-D-A-S-H-A-U-N, TajDashaun.com. Everything you need to know is on that website. All the links to my social media handles. I'm mostly active on Instagram and LinkedIn, more so than anything else. And I'm at TajDashaun on those platforms as well. If you go to the website, you'll just be at TajDashaun.com. You'll just be able to click the link for the podcast, and it'll take you, I mean, you can look it up. It's called Thrive After Sports, but it's on all platforms. So if you click podcast on the website, it'll take you to, you know, whether you want to listen on Apple or Spotify, whatever you prefer, any other platforms. Also, the link to the book is on there. I always tell people you can get the book on Amazon as well if you just type in Thrive After Sports. But if you get it from the website, I'll send you a signed copy. So that's just, you know, and also if you order from the website, the money goes directly to me versus going through Amazon first, which enables me to be able to do, you know, more things for athletes. Right. So support the movement by ordering directly from the website, preferably. But yeah, man, that's pretty much it. That's where you can find me.
Absolutely, man. I'll make sure that I get that on our captions too, so people definitely have access to that. But yeah, once again, man, thanks for hopping on. That's going to be all the time that we're going to have for this episode, guys. Please stay tuned for the next episode. It's just going to keep getting better and better from here. So, Taj, thank you once again. You guys have a wonderful time, and we will talk to you guys next time. All right? See you guys.